everyone tonight. Why don't you turn to someone around you and tell them it's good to see them here.
Beautiful name it is, and nothing compares to this. We lift up the great name, the powerful name. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank you, Jesus, for your name has been applied to our life in baptism. We give you thanks and praise. Amen. It's so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. We've had to work really hard this week to stay dry, but here we are. Amen. In a dry house, thank the Lord. It's good to see you tonight. As you're standing, let's go to the Lord in prayer for Sister Myra Hennigan, Sister Cammie Rhodes, Sister Carolyn Dowers, and let's remember all of the sweet people throughout Calcasieu Parish who have been flooded. We need to lift them up, because there comes a time in all of our lives you just ask, how much more can I take, right? And if you've ever been there, you know that's a really disheartened feeling. And we just need to pray for our brothers and sisters and those in Lake Charles and whomever they may be, wherever they may be, that God would strengthen them. Would you agree with me now? Father, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we know that at the mention of your name, God, we have felt your presence at the mention of your name. And God, we call right now upon your name. And Lord, we're asking for you to touch our brothers and sisters and men and women in Calcasieu Parish and Lake Charles and the surrounding area, Lord, that has just suffered from, God, water in their house and, Lord, flood damage and other, Lord, things that are just going on in their life. And we just pray, Father, that you would strengthen them in the name of the Lord and let them feel the prayers of righteous men and women as we lift them up in the wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Just want to remind you that registration for all camps are open. Thank you, Jesus. Registration for all camps are open. You can register at LADistrictUPC.com for all of our camps. And then again, if you're a camper and you just don't have funds to go, you see myself and we'll make sure that you get to go to camp. Also, it comes back around Mother's Memorial, our $100 club. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, if you give $100 to Mother's Memorial, you receive a nice pin. And that money goes to support our missionaries. It helps to buy cars for them, washers, dryers, things for their homes. And you say, well, how do I do that? You can just get an envelope, and on that envelope, you can mark $100 and put Mother's Memorial, and that's exactly what it will go for. Or you can give on our app, or you can give online, and there's designations for that if you want to be a part. This church is just so generous in doing that, and we do sincerely appreciate it. Amen. Well, I think that is all of our announcements. I want to rejoice again that the Lord has baptized 8 people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we've had numerous people baptized, and I thank the Lord for that. And I'm thankful that all of you are here. I know you had to get out in this weather and get your families here. And I pray that the word of the Lord will encourage you. If our ushers would please come, we're going to give each of you an opportunity to give. I think that if all goes well, Dr. Trey Nealon is going to be speaking to our graduates, and I'm pretty excited about that. I think he's going to do a really good job, and he should be here. If I can get him away from Brooke, y'all, that boy acts like he's in love. I can't hardly get him away, but the Lord being our helper, he'll be here Sunday morning, and we're going to honor our graduates. We would be really privileged if you would come. Your presence alone would mean the world to our graduates. And then we're just going to have a great service Sunday morning. So the Lord bless you. Amen. Father, thank you for your sweet people, the generosity of your people. We could not do what we do week in and week out if it wasn't for the faithfulness of your people. Thank you again for both the gift and the giver. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. And everybody say amen. God bless you as you give. Thank you again. Give the Lord praise one more time. It's called a sacrifice. When you're tired and weary and worn out, give Him the sacrifice of praise. For He is good. His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. If you don't have a handout, I know this is one you have received for the past 3 weeks, but I want you to have a fresh one. And what you do with it after service is your business. But if you will, raise your hands if you don't have a fresh handout, and we're going to make sure that you get one. Everybody have one? Okay, Brother Tommy needs one. Sister Tammy needs one. Okay. Our musicians need one. Sister Manuel, wave your hand at me. You did great tonight on the drums. You're phenomenal. Thank you. I appreciate Logan. I appreciate all of our musicians. And thank you. Well, do y'all think that we can get our minds on the Word through this rain? I'm driving Trey's old vehicle, that FJ, and we'll get you home because it's pretty high up. So one way or the other, we'll get you home. Y'all got a few minutes for the word of the Lord? Now let's ask the Lord to help us. We're here now in body. Help us to be here in our mind and spirit. Father, for the next, Lord, 25, 30 minutes, would you help us now as we're here in our bodies to come in our mind and in our spirit to receive the word of the Lord so that we can, Lord, continue to grow in who we are in Christ. And we give you thanks and praise. And everybody say amen. God bless you. You can be seated. To those of you that's joined us online, thank you for joining us online. We do appreciate you joining us. What we believe about God matters. Can I get a witness? But what we believe about ourselves matters too. I'm going to say that again. What we believe about God matters, but what we believe about ourselves matters too. When we believe what he says about us, then what it helps because now we have power to overcome all of our insufficiencies, our faults, and our flaws. When we believe what he says about us, it begins to change the way that we see ourselves. Can I get a witness? You know, but sometimes the voice in our head, how many know what I'm talking about? The voice in our head. The voice in our head criticizes us for the things that we do or have done. And the voice inside of my head, I can only speak for me, has told me, Wayne, you're not smart enough. It's told me you're not good enough. This voice in our head has told all of us that at times we're not worthy enough. We don't deserve God or God's goodness. But can I tell you that that is the voice of the flesh? Because when you tune into the voice of the Spirit, he says that you are worthy because he has made you worthy. And that you are enough because in Christ you can do all things through him. And so it's very important, brothers and sisters. I want you to know that I believe this lesson that we have been doing on identity is more than just something to fill up a Wednesday night. It is literally something that can change the way you see of yourself as you get how Christ sees you. Does that make sense? It's important. But let me ask you this question. Y'all be honest with me. How many of you know that for the most part, our default mode in our brain works against us? It's not working for you. It's working against you for the most part. And isn't it something that we can sometimes, Chad, we can sometimes believe the promises of God for our neighbor, but have a hard time believing it for ourselves? We believe that you can take this word and you get healed. We just don't know if it's going to work for us. Right? And we can have faith for you and believe it and pump you up and tell you all day God is for you. But the default mode in our own mind is we're not enough and God's not really for us. And what I want to strive to do tonight is really try to begin to change that default mode in all of us that God is for me. Can I get a witness? So it's very important. This next 30 minutes is very important that we get a revelation of who we are in Christ so we can begin to change that default mode. I want you to repeat after me. Say, I am responsible for what I choose to believe. This is the most important book in your life because this book has the power to change your identity. Amen. As you begin to get this word of God in you and see yourself as Christ sees you, it begins to change us. Because Satan knows that if he can attack this belief of who we are in Christ, then he has the victory over us. But when you start getting down, but you know enough of the word that says, Satan, I want you to know I know who I am in Christ. And it doesn't matter right now that I don't feel saved. It doesn't matter right now that I don't feel like a Christian. I know the word of God and I know I'm saved. I know I'm his child. I know he loves me. I know that God wants the best for me. Then guess what? He can't get victory over you when you know who you are in Christ. Does that make sense? Now I want you, if you will, please, to get your list out. And I know this is a little redundant, but how many of you parents have ever told your children, brush your teeth more than once? How many of you have ever listened to your favorite song more than once? There you go. So this is very important. You got to get this in your spirit. You are accepted in Christ. How do I know that? Because the word tells me in John 1 and 12, you are God's child. Say it, I'm God's child. Say, I'm God's friend. Now, see, most of you don't believe that. You don't believe that. And that's why you got to keep saying it. So it gets from your head until it gets into your heart. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to believe it. Come on. It's one thing to have it in your head and read it off a page. It's another thing to get it in your heart. That's right. Thank you, Chad. I've been justified. Come on, it's more fun when we all say it together. Say, I've been justified. Say, I'm united with the Lord. And I'm one in spirit with Him. Say, I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. Say, I'm a saint. See, many of you don't think you're a saint because you messed up today. It's not a matter of whether you messed up today. A saint is a chosen one, a called out one. Even if you royally messed up today, you're still in the sight of God a saint. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, that God doesn't love you one minute and hate you the next? He don't operate that way. He loves you. He loves you. Even when you sin, He still loves you. He don't want you to sin because when you and I sin, we give space to the devil. And the devil normally stays longer than what we want him to. Takes us further than what we want to go. So God doesn't want you to open up the door to the devil because He knows how the devil works. But at the same time, He's not mad at you. The Bible says that He knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. So He doesn't have a roller coaster experience with you. If you sin now, I'm mad at you. If you do right now, I'm happy with you. No, He loves you. Does that make sense? Okay, you are a saint. You may not feel like a saint. Listen, brothers and sisters, man, I got to hurry, but when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to just tell you about me. I have dragon breath in the mornings when I wake up, just like you. I haven't brushed my teeth for 12 hours. When I wake up, I don't feel saved. When I wake up, I don't feel like a Christian. But guess what? I believe with all of my heart, without my teeth being brushed and in my PJs, if the Lord was to come, I'm going to be saved. Because I'm not basing my experience off of how I feel at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm basing my experience on what this word tells me I am. And that's what you got to get. Because if you buy into the culture of this world is going to say you're valuable based off of what you drive, what you wear, where you live, who your friends are, and how much money you have. And I'm going to tell you that's shallow. Because you can have all of that today and lose it tomorrow. But your relationship with Christ, what shall separate me from the love of God? And then it goes on and basically nothing. That's what you want to anchor to. Do you feel my passion tonight? Because I'm telling you, the world is growing colder. It's getting more shallow. The values of America, it blows my mind where I'm seeing America go. And we have got to dig down deep into the bedrock of the values of God and understand who we are in Christ. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, let me go on here. What I think that we've done, we didn't mean to, but what I think we've done is I think that we have basically made Christians so sin conscious that they're not God conscious. I'm going to say that again because you got to process that. What do you mean, Pastor? We have taught y'all so much not to sin that we don't even hardly do anything because we're so afraid we're going to sin. I don't think that's the way we ought to be living for God. I think we ought to be living for God out of love, not out of fear. We ought to have a consciousness of God, not so much a sin consciousness. Not so much that I'm going to mess up, but that God still loves me even when I don't do it perfect. When you serve God out of love versus out of fear, then you know what happens? You're humbled that God would even love you. You're humbled that His grace would even cover you. And it's no longer that I'm fearing God. I reverence Him, right? I reverence Him as God. But I'm not living in a sin consciousness. I'm living in a God consciousness. God, You are so good. And You are good all the time. Thank You for loving me. Because if anybody knows that I don't belong here, it's me. Right? But I'm only here by the grace of God. Can I get a witness? So don't focus on sin consciousness. Focus on God consciousness and focus on loving God and loving people. Let's get into this. Now, I want you, if you will, to go to, you see, you are secure in Christ. Go to the second verse, which is going to be first, the second verse from the bottom on you are secure in Christ in the middle of the page. You see that? 1 John 5, Janet, baby, are you with me? Okay, 1 John 5 and 1, I'm asking because if she's with me, then I've communicated. 1 John 5 and verse 1, I think you're going to put this on the screen. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The ideal, brothers and sisters, that anything born of God could be defeated is foreign to the writer, who is John. He's saying that anything that is born of God that could be defeated, he's like, I don't get that. Because anything that is born of God cannot be defeated. You can't be defeated when you're born of God. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is the victory? Our faith. What do you mean, our faith? Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith in what? Our faith in the grace of God to cover our sin. Our faith in the finished work of God, that what He has done is sufficient, is more than enough. When I have faith, not in myself, but I have faith in the finished work of Christ, that is the faith that gives me the victory, that no matter what the devil throws my way, I am an overcomer. How? By what He did for me. Does that make sense? So we overcome because of who we are in Christ, not primarily by what we do, but by what He's done. Let's go to 1 John 5 and 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Okay, this is very important. Another translation says, we know that whoever is born of God does not keep on sinning. Okay, whoever is born of God does not keep on sinning. Because when you're born of God, you don't want to keep on sinning. You may mess up, you may fall, you may sin, sure. But you don't want to keep doing that, okay? That's what that means. Whoever is born of God does not keep on sinning. Then it goes on to say that as believers, we rejoice because we received the sinless nature of Christ in us. When you sin, that sinless nature of Christ does not participate. You say, well, if I have God in me, then how can I sin? Because what happens is this. You take yourself off of a place from death on the cross, and then you are drawn away by your own lust. I want this. I want her. I want him. I gotta have this. And so you come down from off of the cross of death. Remember what Paul says, I die daily. Why do I need to die daily? Because my flesh is strong. It wants what it wants. But the God in me does not sin. See, your body's going to only go where your mind's already been. Right? So when you're born of God, that part of you does not sin. It cannot sin because it is of God. Thank you very much, Jared. Appreciate that. It cannot sin. But when you are born of God, you don't want to keep on sinning. You want to draw closer to Him, right? Okay. And then it goes on to say that the wicked one cannot touch Him. What does that mean? We know that the devil, you know, tries to touch us. Here's what it means. Though the devil may tempt God's people, they are never under his control, and he cannot lead them outright. So in other words, the devil cannot touch you. He can tempt you. He can try to deceive you, but he can't lead you into sin. He doesn't have control over you because you are born of God. Now, if you give into it, that's because you were enticed by your own lust, but that's not God in you. That's your flesh. That's the will of man. Did that just make sense? Now we're going to the portion you are significant in Christ. Look at Matthew 5:13-14. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. We have the responsibility to transform our environment just like salt transforms food. I'm going to say that again. All of my sweet brothers and sisters, we have the responsibility to transform our schools, our communities, our neighborhoods, and our families just as salt transforms food. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light. You are a city that is set on a hill. This is why I preach, you know what? We can't come to church to get ready. We got to be ready. We got to be ready. This is why you are so important. Man, I would just love to be able to have a one-on-one conversation with every one of you. You are important. You say, why, Pastor? Because you can be in a store and God give you a word for somebody and it totally changed their outlook. Right? And that's why you got to be sensitive. Why? Because you are an ambassador of Christ. What does that mean? It means I speak the same language as the King speaks. I present myself the way the King presents himself. I want to be ready. Look at your neighbor and tell him, be ready. Why? Because you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. When somebody comes up and says, man, I just noticed you're smiling. What's going on? You need to have an answer for them because it's God in me. What you see is God in me. Can I get a witness? Let's go on. John 15:1. You are a branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. In other words, that scripture says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the vine and you are the branches, for without me, you can do nothing. We must be rooted in God if we're going to bear the fruit of Christ. Being connected is very important. Now, as Christians, I want to come alongside you tonight. Do I have your attention? There's a number of things I don't want any of us to have. Number one, I don't want you to have binoculars. Quit looking at everybody else. Because you're going to have to be saved on purpose, but you can be lost by accident. What does that mean? It means that if you keep your eye on people, you can lose out. Don't be looking at everybody else's fault because you're going to find what you're looking for. The next thing I don't want in your hand is clippers. God didn't ask the branches to clip the branches. Thank you. Some of you got that. He said, I am the vine dresser. You are the branches. What does that mean? It means the only person that has the clippers is him. The branch doesn't trim the branch. The branch produces the fruit. Well, I don't like what they wear. Well, you let God take care of that. You let his word take care of that. Well, I don't like this about them. Well, you let the God's word take care of that. It's not up to you to come up there and clip them. That's the vine dresser's job. When he wants to prune them, he can prune them, and he'll do a much better job than you will. You know, what's my job then, Pastor? Love God, love people, be ready to encourage people, be salt, be light. Get the binoculars from around your neck. Get the pruners from off of your hands. Love people. We don't all produce the same fruit at the same time. That's all of us growing in grace. Can I get a witness? Can we keep going? Look at John 15:6. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Whatever you ask in my name, he may give you. Okay, let me just be real open with you. There's a lot of prayers you can pray, but the only prayers that are going to get answered are what is in alignment to his word. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. It's not about you just praying anything. God is not Santa Claus. God is not a vending machine. How come my prayers don't get answered? Because you got to pray according to his will. We ask a lot of things that we may consume it upon our own lust. And God says, I'm not going to answer that. I love you, but I ain't answering that. Why? Because you're not praying according to his will. This is why I pray for healing, because I know it's God's will to heal. Does everybody get healed? No, but it's God's will. It's God's will for everybody to be saved. Does everybody get saved? No, but it's God's will. How do I know God's will? I know his word. When I know his word, I know his will. When I know his will, I can pray his word, and his word lines up, and then I'm going to get an answer because I'm praying according to the will of God. This is why Jesus says, I only do what my Father tells me. I only speak what my Father tells me. Do you know why God, every time he went to somebody and they were healed, you know why? Because he was in total alignment to the Father's will. Because God did speak. He did speak. It's in the word. He says, there were many widows, but the prophet was only sent to the one. In other words, God only went to those who he knew were ready. Not everybody's ready. See, this is why you don't want to ever try to force feed people the word of God. Let them come and let that seed bear fruit. Just keep loving them. Okay? Because God never forces no one to do anything. Right? See, and the more mature you get, the more mature you get, the more you're going to give. You say, how do I know if I'm mature in Christ? Look at how selfish you are. No, I'm serious. The more you mature in Christ, the more you're going to give. The less mature you are in Christ, the less you give. Because that old nature is very selfish. It's all about me and what I can get and what people can give me. But the more I mature in Christ, the more I'm looking at what can I give. I know that's not easy to take, but the more mature you are in Christ, the more you start bearing the fruit of Christ. Does that make sense? Well, I can tell I need to move on right there. Okay. Let me just say this. When you go to prayer, okay, you want to pray the will of God. A police officer can arrest someone in the name of the law when the government legitimately wants that person to be arrested, but they cannot simply use the phrase in the name of the law to harass people or invent their own rules. Christians are only truly praying in the name of Jesus when those prayers are offered in total submission to his sovereign will. I can't get up here and say, in the authority of the name of Jesus, just because I want to. I've got to be praying according to the will of God if I'm going to receive that. I can't just go around, you know, saying whatever. It doesn't work that way. It works when I'm in alignment to the word. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. Acts 1:8. You have received power. You are a personal witness of Christ. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto me. Now, Jesus' followers will receive the Holy Spirit and empower them to perform signs and wonders. I believe that with all my heart. I'm having people ask me this a lot. Pastor, why are we seeing less and less demonstration of the Spirit? Maybe I'm wrong. I may be wrong. But I think I'm right. Because here's what the scripture says. That God has to shorten the days for the very elect's sake. Right? Because God's Spirit is slowly being taken from the earth. And this is why it's very important that we raise up a standard against the works of the enemy. And that we can have a refuge. If you go back in the Old Testament, this is just a principle. In the Old Testament, there were cities of refuge that they would run to and find safety. De Quincy needs to be that city of refuge. That as the world gets darker, this is a bright spot in Calcasieu Parish, where people can come and find refuge and health and healing and hurt for their brokenness. But that doesn't just happen because we meet. It happens because we're praying the will of God. We're praying. Come on, somebody. It happens when prayer goes. Prayer is being made. We got to be people, men and women of prayer. Prayer makes a difference. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians 3:16, you are God's temple. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The church in Corinth, when they saw the temple in their mind's eye, they saw a literal temple. But Paul was speaking, listen, I'm not talking about a literal temple. If you've got the Spirit of God in you, you are the temple of God. You are the body of Christ. Christ now dwells in you. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Those in Christ have become something they were not before. In other words, their identity has changed from being the fallen version of themselves to now being associated with the righteousness of Christ. That's who you are now. Say, I'm righteous. Here's what the church believes. The church believes that we can receive repentance from Him and we receive that by faith. But we think that we have to be righteous in ourselves. I'm going to say that again. We by faith believe that when we ask God to forgive us our sins, that He does that. But we think we've got to earn our righteousness. You can no more earn your righteousness than you can earn forgiveness of sins. It all comes by the grace and the finished work of Calvary. Y'all, this is very important to me. Very important to me. You can no longer be holy in yourself. No more than a leper can change its spots. You can't be holy in yourself. Where do you get your holiness? By the Holy Spirit. Where do you get your righteousness? By what Jesus did for us at Calvary. How do I receive that? I receive that by faith through grace in His name. Did that just make sense? Okay. Now let's go on. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I think most of us get that. Let's move on. 2 Corinthians 6:1. You are God's co-worker. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, we are co-workers. What do you mean, Pastor? Without God, we can't, and without us, He won't. I'm going to say it again. Without God, we can't, and without us, He won't. We are co-workers with Him. This is why it is important for you to have a daily prayer time. Important for you to get that word in you, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Why? Because you are His ambassador. You are a co-laborer with Christ. You are His hands and His feet. You are to carry on the ministry of God in the earth. You are salt. You are light. There's a lot riding on us, amen? You say, so Pastor, how can we do this in vain? In other words, the Bible says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. What does that mean? It means that without purpose or without results. Don't receive the grace of God and just come to church and sit and soak and get sour. You're a co-worker with Christ. You're co-laboring with Him. You're important in the body of Christ. You know people I don't know. You go places I don't go. Every one of you do. We are working together, co-laboring with Christ. You got a few more minutes? Ephesians 2 and 6. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. We've talked about this. And he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm going to do this again. Repetition is the first art of learning. How God sees you is he sees you seated on the throne with him already. And that's why we all have to be careful. Just remember, get this in your mind. God is, when I'm looking at my phone, the Lord is with me. When I'm talking on the phone, God is with me. When I'm watching entertainment, God is with me. I'm seated. In his mind, I am seated with him right now. I know that's hard to believe. I know. It blows your mind that the way God sees us is already perfected, is already seated with him in Christ. But when you get that revelation from your mind to your heart, it starts changing how you see yourself. Some of y'all are fading on me. Stay with me. Y'all got room, time for one more? Ephesians 2 and 10. Could our musicians help me? For we are his workmanship. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're God's masterpiece. Tell him this, you're his artwork. Tell him this, you're more valuable than a Picasso. I can see the way you're saying it. You don't believe it, and that's okay. But you got to start saying it. I'm his artwork. I'm his masterpiece. I'm his Picasso. Shoo. He sees me already seated with him in heavenly places. And you see zits and warts and receding hairline and hurt backs and, you know. That's not how he sees you. He sees you through the blood. He sees you as already perfected and seated with him. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then Ephesians 3 and 12. It says, you have approached God with freedom and confidence. It says, in whom, this is what the scripture says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Here's two amazing qualities that you have. Number one is boldness. Boldness to do what? To even approach him. Even with sin in my life, I can approach him. The high priest could never go into the Holy of Holies with sin in his life, but I can go into his presence with sin in my life. And I can do it with boldness. Why? Because I know the scripture says that if I have messed up, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the number one thing that I have is boldness. And the number two thing that I have is confidence. What do I have confidence in? My righteousness? No. His righteousness. My holiness? No. His holiness. What I've done? No. What he's already done. That's what I have confidence in. Does that make sense? And then Philippians 4 and 13. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's my identity. That's who we are. Would you stand to your feet? Now, would you turn your paper over? Hallelujah. Father, Lord, I love your people. And I pray, God, that you would just touch our minds and our hearts, that we would see ourselves the way that you see us, that we have the very spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living on the inside of us. And Lord, help us to change, because we can't do it on our own. We love you and we thank you and we praise you. Now, if you would, get your lesson out. Go to the back of it. Go to bullet point number 4. And let's read this together. Ready? On 3. 1, 2, 3. I have the mind of Christ directing my thoughts. I have the word of God guiding my steps. I demolish every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. I take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Worry is not my master. I trust in God. His peace guards my heart, guards my mind, and guards my soul in Christ Jesus. My God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Can you put your lesson down now and just lift your hands up and just tell him, Lord, give me revelation. Father, help this to get from my head to my heart. Lord, help me, oh God, that my identity would be in you, not in America, not in the values of this world. Come on. You can use me. God, help us to change our default mode. That we see ourselves as you see us, Lord.
Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. You can use anything, Lord.
Thank you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. I love you. I appreciate you. I hope you stay dry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.